Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have an excellent program lined up for our listeners today. Me and my good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen.
I'm here whether you want me or not.
Well, this program wouldn't be the same without Dave Colonen. You always have a lot of insight on these very sensitive subjects. And we have sensitive subjects for our listeners today. And I like what we accomplish. You speak from the heart, Dave. People like it when you speak from your heart. Your personal experiences over your lifetime, from your music career, from your career as a missionary, your career as a pastor in many churches, you have had a fascinating life. And you're always able to see right through some of these subjects that we come up with. Today, I want to talk about the misrepresenting. You know, Jesus never misrepresented his product, but some people do. They might tell a false story or something in order to try to gain an advantage or a dollar. Liars are eventually exposed. You know, it might take weeks or even months, but the truth always comes out. That's scriptural. He that coveteth his sins shall not prosper. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says that. Anyone who does business with you wants the truth, the total truth. People fear misrepresentation. Boy, that reminds me of a story that happened in our office years ago. It happened to me. We have two secretaries that worked in our department. Hallway separated their desks, one on either side when you entered into our area. All different kinds of people, from Navy captains down to the newest employee, knew these two ladies. Both worked hard, both were intelligent, both had a lot on the ball. But one kept coffee money. They had a little coffee pot gone, and the money would accumulate as the dollars come in for people to pay up to their dues. And then once a month, somebody would go buy coffee products. Well, they had this cash, and the secretary had it in her desk drawer. And she said only two people knew where this cash was kept. Well, one day, she looked for the cash, and it was gone. And she blamed the other secretary. She said two reasons. Number one, she's the only person that knew where that cash was. And number two, she's the only person that's here since the last time I saw it. It had to be her that took it. So she told everybody in that whole department that this other secretary stole this money. Everybody knew of it. Most people weren't too sure one way or the other, but they all knew that she was falsely. She was accused of stealing this money. And, of course, the other secretary said, no, I didn't see it. I didn't take it. I have no desire to take it. You lay all the money you want on top of your desktop. I'm never going to touch it. I didn't do it. And the other secretary said, oh, yes, you had to. It had to be you. There wasn't anybody else. And she wasn't bashful about telling people. Can you imagine all the negative vibes that were shared through that office for quite a long time period? Quite honestly, I don't remember exactly how long it was, but it was approximately 2 months. It might have been 2.5 months. I can't say for sure how long it was. But that secretary who did all the accusing, she found the money. Here she moved it and put it into another spot because she was getting ready to go buy materials, and she forgot that she moved it. And she found those dollars that she thought was stolen, and she just showed it to the other secretary and said, I'm sorry. And she went and bought her coffee supplies and never said a word to anybody else in that office. So forever, people thought that this other secretary was still guilty, and she humbly admitted it to the one person and not a word to anybody else. You know, those kind of stories can really rattle your cage. Alters people's entire life because of one incident being falsely accused. when I see those kind of things, it reminds me that how one little falsehood, falsely accusing somebody really hurts. You ever been falsely accused? Almost all of us have, I guess, been falsely accused. Those things really hurt, don't they? Brothers and sisters, I remember back in my childhood, I'm the oldest of five, and my parents were rougher on me because I was supposed to know better every time something went wrong. Well, my brothers and sisters caught on to that. They found out that they could blame anything that happened, they could blame it on me. My dad didn't hesitate. Oh, it was that guy again. Boom. Down he goes. Falsely accused many times. You know, here I am now. I'm an old man in my senior years. I didn't forget that. You can forgive, but I can't forget. Being falsely accused really hurts. So I would point that out to our listeners. And be sensitive about that. Don't ever misrepresent anything. Jesus had the greatest product on earth. His product was eternal salvation. He offered the human race an opportunity to have a relationship with God. He spoke of heaven. He spoke of angels. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Written in John chapter 14, verse 2. But he never painted or distorted a picture. He always told the truth. He warned his disciples of persecution. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up upon the council, and they will scourge you for in their synagogue. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17 says that. He spoke of their afflictions. Then shall they deliver you up upon afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Matthew chapter 24, verse 9. You see, Jesus spoke of these issues. He spoke of the loneliness. The fox have holes and the birds have their nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head and hide. Matthew chapter 8, verse 20. He's warning you, do not be deceptive. Jesus believed in preparing people for any possible situation that could happen. He was honest. His teaching was far more than pie-in-the-sky philosophy. No, no, no. Listen to the Apostle Paul when he was writing about it as well. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. At night and day I have been in the deep. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 says that. You see, so it's throughout the scriptures it's telling us do not be false. This certainly does not sound like the most ideal sales talk for a group of students in the Bible school. But Paul did not misrepresent his product either. Jesus spoke to many people of the good things and the benefits of what he offered, but he was so quick to talk to them about the total picture so that they would be prepared to face their trials. Jesus added the benefits, and he talked about them all. Focus on the advantage of your product or your business that you want to offer to another person, but never forget that an honest relationship is worth 100 sales. Your integrity will never, ever be questioned if you tell the truth. Always be remembered to tell the truth, and your product will serve you well and serve you well for a longer time period. Jesus was telling us all along. David, in your experiences, do you have any recollection of someone who was trying to deceive you as a businessman or anything of that nature?
Well, there was a day when, after you've been over 50 years with three guys, you know, you think different. You come up with different things to talk about. And we were going to California on a big trip, like 40 days. And we got to talking about, wouldn't it be great if we could bring our families along? This is crazy, just the three of us. And my wife, she misses me today. And wouldn't it be wonderful if, why don't we buy three rigs instead of using one? We'll each get our own and bring our family. Wow, we got excited about that. We start dreaming. As we're going down the highway, we were saying stuff that I couldn't believe. When we got to Des Moines, Iowa, there was a big Winnebago. They were selling Winnebagos. They were the most popular in those days.
Recreational vehicles.
I said, hey, pull in here. Let's talk to this guy. Let's see how far off we are with money. So we pulled into the agency, and he's, we want to buy 3 rigs. Oh, man, come on in. Come on in. You know how that goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did. And we ended up liking what we did. And we didn't even hardly think about calling our family. We're just going to surprise them. And the man said, look, here's a gold one, here's a brown one, and here's a blue one on the inside interior. And it looked nice. It was going to be good for us. We thought it was great. And we got in our bus, and we went back down the highway, but said, listen, did we do the wrong thing? You know, that guy, he made us pay $1,000 down, or he would never order it because we lived in Pennsylvania. Yeah. So I'm not going to sell you guys these things, and I'm not going to order them. You're going to leave them in my lap someday if you don't take them. So it's going to cost you $1,000 a piece. So we laid $3,000 down, got back on the bus, and headed for California. Mm-hmm. Smiling big in our hearts, we were really happy. We told our families and everything. You know, a couple days later, we were probably out in Utah somewhere, heading down the West Coast. We all woke up with the fact that we'd done the wrong thing. My family didn't want to come. They can't handle this. 10 days, they'd be finished. They wouldn't even want to go to the next state. And so we all got frustrated with each other. And on the way home, we went back through Iowa, and the man had the 3 rigs sitting at the front of his lot.
He had them ready for you.
Oh. And we pulled in saying, you know, sir, I'm sorry, but this is the wrong thing. We can't take these rigs. We don't want them. Our families don't want them. We're gonna buy a new bus that has things right, and the money that we'd spend on that will be worth it instead of buying these 3. I'll tell you. The man said this. He said, okay, no problem. He said, you're walking out of here without these rigs, and you're walking without your money.
Yeah.
You just spent $3,000 that you're never going to get back.
Yeah. Yeah. He's right out with you. He told you the truth.
Yep. We got in our bus, and we never turned it again.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day came when my family decided to go on the highway. Yeah. And for 13 years, we went, and you know how we made it? You realize how 3 families could live in 1 RV?
You did?
No.
No.
We bought 4.
You bought 4 RVs.
We went down the highway with every family so happy as pigs in mud.
Uh-huh.
And we all did the program. It wasn't the couriers anymore. They were gone.
Yeah.
And we did it as Home Fire. We call ourselves Home Fire Family Ministry.
Yeah.
And we took 4 rigs down the highway. I challenge anybody that's within the sound of my voice to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
For 13 years.
You did it for 13 years.
Pulled into the church with 4 RVs, and the pastor goes, whoa, what did I get myself into? What is this? You know?
And there you were, you and your 3 daughters and their families.
And their husbands.
And there you were.
And we had children in those 13 years. Yeah. I had 2 daughters on the platform pregnant.
Yep.
Bigs.
Right.
Bigs.
But there they were singing.
There they were. And every night we'd go back out to our own home.
Yeah.
God knew that we could do that for 13 years.
You did it for 13 years. That's a long time.
But God lets you sometimes see yourself.
Yeah.
God let us write those checks. We spent the $3,000, and we didn't feel bad about it at all. We felt good. And when we lost it, we said, let's be more careful next time.
Yeah, right. Lessons learned. Yeah.
Lessons learned.
Sure.
And sometimes we get misrepresented.
Yeah.
I mean, we pull up in a bus, or we pull up in a 4 RVs. Which makes the biggest impact? I'll tell you, we made an impact in our church.
You sure did.
We did about 2,000 churches in those years, and we were a successful family ministry. We didn't do everything right, but we showed America how mom and dad and the kids could live, and how they could be successful in their living. And that, we made it
you
for
did
all
it.
Those years. We told them exactly what to do, and we were the man talking about it, but our families were right there. We had our little kids getting up at 6 and 7 years old, and they became a team. They sang every night. Well, that we attracted kids.
Sure you did.
Then the kids attracted mom and dad.
Yeah.
And grandma and grandpa came to see what was happening. Before long, we were packing every church.
That's fascinating. What really a fascinating story. You've had an interesting life, my friend. Yes. Yes. You did it all.
You haven't heard nothing yet. I'm wondering.
You have more.
When we've been here 5 years from now.
That's right.
What will I be telling?
That's right. The entire life history will come out. But you know something? Jesus did the same thing you're talking about. He didn't stay in one place. He was moving and grooving continuously, spreading the good news. And is always being faithful, always being honest, always being sincere, always helping other people. He knew what he was doing. He believed in his work, and he was doing the Father's will. David, you followed in those footsteps. A very positive lifestyle that you've had. And people enjoy listening to those kinds of stories. It makes them feel good about their Christianity, about their faith in the Lord, about the work that they do. Every one of us have our own works. And we want to know that we're doing the right thing. You are giving us words of encouragement.
You know, if I could make it just a little story out of this, nothing big. But people say, Dave, how can we get more of your story? Well, I just finished. And you could order it today, right here at WPFG. I started sitting in a studio and telling my story. It took me 13 hours to finish.
Oh, my.
You know how many stories are in that 13 hours?
No.
There are just hundreds of things that I talked about that I remembered. It just finished. And if you'd like to have a copy of Dave Colonin and his life story,
yeah,
Out of the Ordinary.
How do we get that?
Just right here at WPFG. It's $15.
Wow.
It's one CD.
Yeah.
Put 13 hours on there.
Yeah,
it will bless you. It will touch you. It will say, "I wish I had been with that gang."
Yes,
for those years, for the 58 years,
you were with the Carriers.
I have spent time with other things.
Yeah,
that
in Davenport and Barbados. I realized you were all over the world.
Yes,
how many countries were you in? 61 different countries, or something like that.
Yep.
Wow, fascinating.
So if you'd like to have a copy of that,
yes.
People say, how can I get that copy of 13 hours of Dave Colonin talking and giving his life story?
It's available.
What is our address right here?
241 WPFG or 241-9734. Or if you want to write to us, it's 14 Stover Drive. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio at 14 Stover Drive, Carlisle, 17015.
Well, I also did one more thing.
What's that?
I took the New Testament. Took me 17 hours to read the New Testament on cassette tape, too. No, on CD.
CDs.
So I have the Bible and the New Testament.
Wow.
And my life story on two CDs. They're $15 each.
So they can get both of them.
They can get both of them.
How about that? That has to be a fascinating
Sorry, story. Made a
no, that's okay.
Advertisement out of that. But how are you ever going to move it if you don't talk about it?
You've had a fascinating life, Dave, and it's extremely interesting. All of your works that I've known you for quite a long time, everything you've done is Christian-oriented. It's based on your firm belief in the life of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. And to hear those stories and experiences would just be a fascinating listen. So I would encourage our listeners to pay credence to it if you have any interest in that kind of material at all. Dave is a fascinating person to believe to. So I don't want to sound like I'm selling your product, but I just want to let people know that it would not be a bad move if you have a remote bit of interest in Christianity. Let's continue our lesson material today before we exhaust our time completely. I want to share the travels of Jesus. I want to talk about that a few minutes. You know, Jesus went where the people were, and somebody needed him. And the reason I want to talk about that for a minute, because the same thing applies to us today. Somebody needs you, but you go find them. Activate yourself. Move towards neighbors. Move towards the members of your family. Get on the telephone. Go ahead. Write a brief note that your close friend might want to hear. You may be shy, a little timid, or even feel inadequate, but you will not succeed in this life unless you are connected to people. Success involves people. no matter your business. People who enable you to succeed may not always come to you. In fact, they rarely do. You must go to them. That's what Jesus did. Why do you think there are newspaper machines on every corner and soft drink machines on every floor of a hotel? Successful people are accessible. You will never possess what you are not willing to pursue. Jesus knew this. He did not set up a throne in the middle of each city and say, hey, this is my palace. This is the only place you can see me. No. He went to the marketplace. He went to the boats of the fishermen. He went to the synagogue. He went to the homes of the people. He went everywhere. He went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere he went. He was reachable. What is keeping you from reaching out towards others? Is it an inward fear or dread that you may be rejected or turned down? No. Are you intimidated in some way? Well, okay, maybe. There is something far more important than rejection. Your dreams and your goals are sensitive. Successful people are reachers. They dread rejection too, but they believe their goal is worthwhile. Jesus left comfort. He left his presence of angels and his heavenly Father. He willingly walked into an atmosphere that was unholy or imperfect. He stepped out of a magnificent and perfect kingdom and into a world that was confused, strange, and deadly. But he walked into the lives of those who needed him. He went where the people were. Your dream is connected to people. Lawyers need clients. Doctors need patients. Singers need musicians. Salesmen need customers. Jesus went where the people were hurting. He went to the lame, the blind, the poor, and the wealthy. He went to all of them. He talked to the learned, and he talked to the ignorant, and he talked to the hungry, and he talked to the thirsty. So start your people list today. There are two kinds of people in your life, those who already know that you have something they need, and those who do not yet know that you have something they need. Your people list may include your relatives, your neighbors, your newspaper carrier perhaps, your gardener, your dentist, your manicurist, your hairdresser, your landlord, doctor, lawyer, hey, all those people you come in contact with. There is a law of relationship that says every person is merely four people away from another human being on this earth. Think of it. This simply means that you know Bill, who knows Judy, who knows Charles, who knows anyone else that you would ever want to know. You are already networked with the entire world. You simply have to get out of your house, get out of your car, go to the door, reach for your telephone, and do what has to be done. That's what Jesus did. You're no better, no worse. Why would you want to even consider that? Success is always being somewhere. Success always begins at some moment. Success always begins with someone. You may go where people are. Jesus did that. So it's up to you to spread the good news. David, you have certainly done your share of that in your years past. I would imagine probably the most giving thing you did as far as going where the people need you the most would probably be Barbados. Do you have any thoughts you could share on what you really did? What seed did you plant the most or most frequently?
Well, Barbados is a different kind of place. It's a treasure for the world to visit there and to see how great life can be on a beautiful island. The church had a big split when I was visiting there, and the pastor asked me and my family if we would come to the church and help. You build it back up. He said somebody from America, a family, would come and just do their thing. We could do it again. In 3 years, man, we built it back up to 5,000 people.
5,000 people
coming
in that church.
Everywhere. And here's the secret. You got to be positive. We are not near positive in America. When people get saved, they raise their hand or they walk sheepishly to the altar. It is such an extravagant possession when Jesus saves you, that when you come to the altar, you explode in your life with Jesus coming in with his salvation. Yes. We don't produce that. What if everybody that ever got saved this week, there would be an explosion at the altar of,
yes,
wow, look what God did for me.
Yes.
We quietly go away. We didn't do that in Barbados. Yeah. We shouted out the good news.
Yes.
We'd have 50 to 75 people get saved at one time, and, wow, and we didn't let them go. We took them back to the prayer room and gave them another 30 minutes of, hey, the explosion is an
contagious
explosion.
Yes.
It's not something that just went in one ear to the other and you feel good. Never, never. It's something that God changes completely.
Wow.
I think I could preach.
Yeah, you could. You do it quite well.
It's over.
Well, Dave, yeah, we must say goodbye for now. We've exhausted our time, but you have enlightened our listeners, and I am grateful for your presence. Hallelujah, you do a good job of that. For now, though, we must say goodbye. See you again real soon. Bye-bye for now.
See you next time. Have a good one.